A nice relaxing. Oh, oh my God. Amber Alert, tornado warning. Hurricane Ian is coming to Florida to fuck us. Oh my God. Where am I gonna go? Okay, thanks, Simon. Think. Actually, this is the perfect time. I'm gonna go lock myself at the tech bar. They always make us feel welcome. And they're throwing a hurricane party like true Floridians they are. We're out there. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for is finally here. The Tech Bar featuring Powerhouse Ray, featuring Super Cousin Danny, and this week we brought Vince Chrysler of Dark Cube. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, grab your drinks. Let's get right into the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? We are here on our first ever The Tech Bar. That's what we're calling it, right, Sean? The Tech Bar?
Yes, The Tech Bar. Yes, you are right, Ray.
So I got the best idea. So you know how we're going to IT Nation in a couple months or a couple weeks, and we're doing Tech Bar from there? What if we get like a live keyboardist to play that while we come in, like do this live?
That would be awesome.
All right. That would be awesome. All right. So what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the episode 44. Yeah, that works, of the Tech Bar. I'm OG and Powerhouse Ray Rossini, joined as always by Super Cousin Danny. What's up, dude?
Hello, everyone.
Good. And if you notice, we're in different backgrounds. I'm in the OG Tech Bar Studios, aka my home office. Mr. Super Cousin Danny is in an undisclosed location. Can't tell you, or we'd have to kill you with alcohol poisoning. And and even Simon's remote, working from the infamous White Wall Studios. Thanks, Simon. So this was just in case the hurricane took out our power. We were not going to allow it to affect Tech Bar. So, and thankfully, I talked to Tony earlier today. Tony's all good. And for everybody else in Florida, we hope you're all safe. And if not, coming down to the Tech Bar, it's a safe place to be. Anyway, how you doing, Super Cousin Danny?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm enjoying my new little bar view here that I have. Although Keith will probably say that I bought this bar recently.
Because you're super rich, Cousin Danny. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Keith, since he wasn't on the last episode, I'm happy to see he's back. Keith, I got something just for you. It's been sitting here. And when I say just for you, I mean it's mine. I was just showing you. I got a brand new, my favorite bottle, my Willett Pot Still, my I Dream of Genie, very special bottle. So I always think of you when I see this, Keith. So, Danny, you make it out okay? You safe, dude?
Yep, all safe. We had those, as you know, we've had those tornadoes come through late Tuesday evening. So, then early Wednesday morning, and then, well, obviously, Southwest got hit hard of Florida. I mean, it was pretty bad.
What's up, and Emilio, also Florida resident, also local to us. What's up, dude? Exactly. Florida man fears no hurricane whatsoever.
Yeah, that's why we throw parties. That's why we throw parties.
Aw, look at Travis saying you were a true superhero today. Why are you a superhero today?
I have no idea.
I think he ported 75 numbers. Oh, you know why? Because Danny doesn't work porting on Thursdays. He works marketing. So the love has to go to Gerald, dude. Sorry. Danny had this one moment.
For sure, I'll pass that along to Gerald. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Massive port. That's all Gerald, dude. So Gerald gets 100% of the credit for that one. As a married man married to a Michelle, I'm not saying anything about that comment, Dustin. Thank you very much. I'll say I dream of bottles of liquor. Anyway, for those that were worried, Simon is safe. He's here. He's back at his OG studios. Have you decorated at all, dude?
I put up a shelf. Is that good? I'm making progress. I've been brainstorming on what to do. You know, I'm very undecisive on what I should do. Now, maybe the chat should tell me what I should put in the back.
I mean, you've only been there. You moved in what, 6-7 years ago at this point? When did you move in?
I recently moved in February.
February. Would you count that? Yeah, eight months ago.
It's still 2022. If I go 2023 without putting anything, then you guys give me shit. But for now,
this is absolute bullshit.
We're working on it, guys. We're working. Well,
right, yeah, yeah. You know, okay, bye. Anyway,
you know, Simon's other aspects of his life, right? You could tell why he is indecisive. So, having said that,
yeah, no, it's it's very on brand. Tim says you need a few more milk crates. I don't disagree. But we're not drinking milk tonight. We're drinking some good stuff, courtesy of our guest. If you don't... Simon has the blandest OnlyFans set ever. It's not even a casting couch. It's a casting wall. Jeez, man. But we are not drinking milk. We're drinking good stuff today. Thanks to my man... our guest of the night, Mr. Vince Chrysler. How you doing, Vince?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Vince, how you doing?
So, Vince is my hero.
The intro because... Simon had an Amber Alert.
Hold on. Was it his own? Was it his own?
Hold on. So, Phil brought it up, and he was like, dude... Amber Alert is for kids, and I'm like, fuck. Maybe I was the last child. Man.
But, you know, very on brand. Absolutely on brand for you. Yeah, but, all right, get off. Bye. All right. So, this is what happens when we don't work in person together. It all falls apart. So, what's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm great. It's great to hang out with you guys. I'm also wearing my... my Cigar City.
Oh, your Cigar City? Nice. Yep.
In honor of Tampa, Florida. Good local brewery. For all those folks that are going through everything there. So hope everybody's doing well. And it's terrible stuff.
Nice. Yeah, Danny, I don't know if you know, Danny has a house he's building in Tampa. And Keith wants to know how your mansion, did it survive the storm?
It did survive the storm. Thankfully, it did. Thankfully.
Yes, another bearded brethren. Absolutely. Jason Slagle, another bearded brethren, introduced us and has been loving bourbon ever since. Dude loves security and bourbon. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. So, Vince, we like to take a we'd like to give you like a 30-second spot before we get drinking and stupid and rowdy to talk about what you do and who you are for all the ruffians in the crowd. So Danny and I will get off. And you will have the floor yourself to describe yourself and what it is Dark Cubed is. All right. Give awesome. A second.
So thanks. Yeah, Dark Cubed. I'm the founder and CEO of Dark Cubed. We were kind of started on how do you solve this problem for kind of SMB in the mid-market. So we're doing automated cybersecurity protection, no hardware, no software. It can be up and running in 10 to 15 minutes of tech time. And it generates great recurring revenue for our MSP partners. We've had a great couple of years as we found the MSP channel, and we actually got acquired about 3 weeks ago. We closed it out 3 or 4 weeks ago by a company called Solarium. And it's a really exciting acquisition. Solarium has been focused on kind of information sharing, threat intelligence work upmarket. And then they also have been doing some work within CMMC. So if you do some work in the DoD, you understand CMMC. So it's kind of one of those 1+1=3 scenarios. really excited to be working with them on their chief strategy officer. So, you know, for the first time in 8 years, I'm not a CEO. It's crazy, but it's been a really exciting integration process. And, you know, it's exciting for our MSPs to be able to accelerate our roadmap and kind of help support them better. Oh, I can't hear you, Ray.
Yeah, Ray, you're muted.
It's because I mute myself. That's, you know, I find that most people enjoy it when I mute myself. Lyle says, respectable beard, by the way. Tim, who's also a compliance nerd, you say CMMC, and I can already hear the Tim Tenna, you know, going, getting all excited. So, very cool stuff. Besides that, you have bestowed very few people. There was only one other friend of the show, and he's never been a guest. Is in this category of people that have actually bestowed their own brew for the show.
Exactly.
So can you describe what this is I'm holding and why it's so special?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that kind of I started wanting to do a couple of years ago, and we ended up doing with some friends of ours, was starting a distillery. And it's taken a couple of years to get all the federal permits and the state and local permits. I live in DC, but the distillery is back in Ohio. So, you know, it's not my day-to-day job, but we're getting it up and running, starting small. What you have in your hands is a bottle of we call it common ground wheated bourbon. So it's a mixture of our own juice plus some sourced juice from a distillery in Illinois that we've been working with. So we're really excited about it. It's pretty cool. We can talk a lot about distilling here tonight and all the parts.
I'm so interested. Yeah, it's I talked about this on the show, or I talked about this pre-show. I normally, actually not normally, every episode I've opened a brand new bottle only at the show. Like, I never tasted it before. I on purpose only pick bottles I haven't tasted before. This one, in talking with Slagle about an hour and a half ago, we were talking about this, about your bourbon, and he was so excited about it I had to taste it before it came on. And I was really happy I did, with the only exception that the bottle almost didn't make it here, because I briefly thought of just drinking that all night. But I actually enjoyed it, so I am gonna raise a glass. Danny, you're drinking something a little bit different, right?
Yeah,
you're not on scene, and I wouldn't split my bottle.
Yeah, due to the circumstances, I cannot partake on that lovely bottle, Ray. So I will be drinking what I have drank before, the Crown XO. And yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's fair, because, you know, we're representing all of North America. You got Canada covered. I got the United States covered. I mean,
where's Tony and the tequila?
Tony's got a lot of yard to clean up. I feel so bad for him. There you go.
Ray, I have my own bottle. Yeah,
what are you drinking?
Same thing you are. So, you know, cheers. Ching ching.
Cheers. Love it. Love it. This shit is so good. I'm sorry, Danny. It may not make it back to the office. Because I'm off for the next 3 days. So, Vince, this show is not, it may seem like we're pulling stuff off the cuff and we have no idea what we're doing, and that's mostly entirely true, but we do have some rules to the show. Okay. Simon, if you can bring on the usually barely legible rules. Okay, this is actually pretty good. This is better. Vince, these rules are, when they mention our bartender, it is any of the hosts or guests on the show, so you are a bartender for tonight.
Awesome.
And do me a favor, if you could read off the rules for us.
So the bartenders are always right, which is just a great rule. No politics or religion. Okay. What if you hear these words, you drink? Namaste, unprecedented, or the new norm. Sports are on 24/7. What happens at the bar stays at the bar. And if by some chance the bartender happens to be wrong, see rule number one. The bartenders are always right.
So if I may, just for now, I know typically we keep going, but this is very important to me. So I'd like to go back to rule number four real quick and maybe bring up Emilio's message again, if you don't mind.
Oh, about the dolphins?
And just a little Dolphin glass as well.
So, okay, Danny. Yes, they're 3-0 right now. Yes.
They are the number one team in the NFL. Proceed.
I understand that, and I understand that. But you also know the likelihood of them finishing the postseason.
Ray, as a Dolphin fan, you should know you live in the now, right? You don't.
Yeah, because we definitely don't pay attention tomorrow. That's true. All right. So we have to do an additional word of the day, which I think the additional word should be Motherwell. You notice I'm already drinking it in honor of the bottle. So Motherwell Distilling Company. Can you give us some background on that, Vince?
Yeah, so we started it up in my hometown where I grew up. It's a little town called Logan in southeastern Ohio. And as we were trying to think of names, we wanted something that had local ties but wasn't local. And so we looked and did some research. And back in the late 1800s, there was Motherwell Iron and Steel that helped kind of grow and accelerate our little town in Ohio. And it was sitting on a canal at the time. And so we named it after Motherwell.
Okay.
We have a couple of different products. We actually have six that we have approved labels for. One of them, like the greatest name, I think, is this one called the Lubricator.
The Lubricator. I love that.
It's made from a mash of peaches and sugar, and then you distill it, but you don't add any sugar into it afterwards. So it's not a liqueur. It's not sweet, but it has this mouthfeel of peaches. And the cool thing, like, Lubricator is a great name, right? But it's also Robert Motherwell, who founded Motherwell Iron and Steel, got a patent in like 1888 for a device called the Lubricator. It was like a ball bearing and grease for farming instruments. So every one of our product names has this kind of like two different elements to it.
I love that. That is I was telling Michelle, my favorite part of the bottles that I buy is because I love the stories behind them, right? Like Jefferson's Ocean is probably the most common example, but like even Widow Jane, you know, just some of the other, like, I really like the stories behind them. So I thought that's pretty cool. I love that, dude. See, now I'm just, now I'm just going to be looking over, you know, motherwelldistilling.co the entire episode, and you guys can just carry it from here. Now,
so. Yeah, and what's super cool about our location is we're in an old car dealership, and it's a big building.
Okay.
And the building was bought by the local winery, who's done a great job with this winery just outside of town. And they renovated the building, and so they're running the restaurant bar tasting room. And in the back of the building, they're going to have a winery, a distillery, and a brewery. So you can come to this one location and get local stuff made from there. So we don't have to do any of the retail work. We just have to make, you know, make liquor.
I like that. That's pretty dope. How long does it take to make a? So what? Okay. See, now I want to know about the process and stuff. What is the process? Yeah. No. I love this part. Like this. Forget security. Forget tech bar. Like I just want to know like what goes into making this. Right. Like. Start me from zero.
Dude, like the chemistry of this, like the way liquor works is super easy. That's why I love it. Like, you know, working in security, we have so many issues and challenges and, you know, everything's hard and users don't want to like take an extra 2 seconds to secure the really valuable stuff. But in making alcohol, you just need sugar and then you need to put yeast on that sugar and that yeast eats the sugar and produces ethanol and carbon dioxide. And then you get you're basically making a beer or a wine.
Okay.
And then you put that beer or wine in a still, which boils it. It takes it to the boiling temperature. So the boiling temperature of ethanol is like 178 degrees and water's 212. And so, you know, the solution boils off the ethanol first and you just pull off ethanol and mix, you know, you pull off the right. And there are certain spots and we can talk about heads, hearts and tails and that sort of stuff if you want to. But you just pull off the ethanol, and that becomes liquor.
Oh, I love this. And, so you met Tim from Compliance Risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you met him before, Tim Golden? So yeah.
His background was this. He was planning on coming to Chicago, which is where we did, like, the epic liquor.
Yeah, the tasting.
Cyber whiskey in the White House. And he got got COVID right before that.
Yeah. That's so he actually studied all of this. And I'm gonna get the name wrong. Sommelier, but the bourbon version. He has given me he always likes giving me the backstories and proper ways to taste bourbon and stuff like that. And it's cool. I love it. I love the nerd stuff. Keith is not right. I do love the story more than the bottle, Keith. So we do have a toast. We do toast here. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, much of distilling is marketing. You look at Bullet Frontier Whiskey. It's MGP whiskey from Indiana. It's my house rye. I love it. But it's distilled by somebody else, and they just slap Frontier whiskey on it. So it's all about marketing and sales.
So you're telling me this very beautiful bottle, and I heard the grunt when I pulled out the bottle.
I love that bottle. I love
Willet. It's not my absolute favorite, but I do love the shit out of the bottle. And I don't hate the bourbon. I actually do like it. So I don't mind. Yes, Willet. Bourbon Steward. Thank you, Tim. So, Simon, we have a toast. You want to pull that up? Danny, you haven't done the toast in a minute. Why don't you do the toast for us, man?
All right. So, life may throw us punches and knock us on our ass. Real friends are there to ease the pain and somehow make you laugh.
Cheers, gentlemen.
You're here.
Jason says he believes they have a patent on the bottle design. I'm pretty sure I Dream of Jeannie did first, but whatever. Purist, made by me, not someone else. There you go. So yeah, dude, I really, Danny, I'm sorry, dude. This is really fucking good. I'm sorry,
it
dude.
Is.
So,
I love it.
Damn it.
So when you're not drinking your own swill, what are you drinking, Vince?
That's a good question. I mean, as I said, my house, I like the big bottles of Bullet Rye. It makes great Manhattans. Then from there, I like to just try different things. In COVID, we made a lot of our own stuff, so it saved us a lot of money.
Oh, I can imagine. See, I went the other way. I just created a marketing line item for, bourbon purchases. So it was cool because ABC Wine and Spirits, I hit their gold tier by March, and I joined in January. Yeah. So it was pretty awesome. It was great.
What you guys have in Florida, I'm in Virginia, and we have our ABC store, and basically every ABC store is the same, although they have they're doing this random product drop where random times during the day, they'll give you store numbers that if you go to, you can get the limited release stuff. And so I, of course, wrote a Python script that alerts me in Slack every time that happens with all the ones close to me. And so I've been doing a really good job of getting some unique stuff. But in Florida, you guys have Total Wine. And that's freaking amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their bourbon aisle is goes on forever.
It's cool. It's just, it's hard to... Because they have so much and they have such a bigger clientele with ABC, I got the guy, he'll hold stuff for me and he'll tell me when stuff comes in.
Yeah.
I don't have that at Total Wine. The spend doesn't phase them at all. But yeah, there's lots of
cool anxiety at Total Wine. I don't know what I want to take.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So Josh is asking if you've ever made any gin. That's his favorite spirit.
I have an empty bottle, but this is our, come on.
Yeah. It never works for me either.
This is called Devil's Bathtub Gin. So it's named after in the county where I grew up, there's a little rock formation with water going through it that they call Devil's Bathtub. But then also gin was made in bathtubs in the Prohibition. So there's kind of the double naming, but I like the more citrusy spicy gins and less, not the traditional juniper-y gins.
So I see also you guys have a rum, a canal boat rum.
That's my favorite.
What's the background of that? I love that. I love when the creator's that's my favorite. That's the one. I love that.
So rum, Like, the only requirement in the U.S. to be called rum is it's got to be made from, like, sugarcane or sugarcane products. So you can make rum from, like, Domino sugar. You can make it from molasses. You can make it from anything. And a lot of the rums you get are, like, Bacardi, right? Very bland, mixable rums. I like the ones from, like, Hamden Estates, Foursquare, the really funky, they call them High Hogo. And so our rum, we use Pinella, which is a sugar from Colombia. And the first time I ordered this, it came in a little Ziploc baggies in a box from the mail from Colombia. I'm surprised it didn't get stopped. But like Colombian sugar. And then
Simon knows about that, right, Simon?
Yeah.
He's Colombian, so yeah. Okay, cool.
Bye. What is Colombian sugar?
Pinella.
Specifically? Are you sure?
It's called, well, this Pinella stuff is they take sugar cane and they just grind it up, and then they take the juice and they make sugar out of it. They don't process it at all. So it's like, you know, you pull molasses out of raw sugar.
Oh, yeah. It's like that drink, sugar. Right, that we have in some of the Cuban places where they go ahead and just grind up the sugar cane.
Yeah.
What is it?
Guada? And so, that's, so we use that. And then I found this whole like new – In homebrew stuff, there's this like new revolution around like Norwegian yeasts. And so I found this like Norwegian homebrew yeast where a lot of yeast you ferment it out at like 68 to 75 degrees. So kind of cool. So you don't get weird flavors. This stuff you ferment at like 95 degrees and it kicks off like pineapple and tropical fruit flavors to it. And so we're using this Norwegian homebrew yeast. And then the final element is, when you have, so you make a beer and you put it in the still and you boil off all the alcohol, the stuff that's left in the still, you can use that in whiskey for sour mash because it's acidic. So when you see sour mash whiskey, they're taking that stuff left in the still and making whiskey with it again, or they're putting it into the mash to the next mash. In rum, they call that dunder. And in some of these really cool places, they dump this stuff that's left in the still in these pits outside the distillery, and like rats die in it and sugarcane falls into it and it gets bacteria and all sorts of funkiness. And then you you take that, you boil it, and you put it back into your rum. And so it makes for some really cool, funky, awesome flavors. So we call it canal boat that's rum, dope. But it's really freaking cool.
That is cool. So let's get into the
Motherwell.
Yeah, and don't judge my website, man. Like, it's Squarespace. I don't have a lot of time, so
okay. Like, Dustin's gonna say something.
Said the word of the day. Come on now.
I wasn't paying attention, Danny. Sorry. Motherwell. What? You're a Motherwell.
What did you
say? I have nothing against the website. Look, you have it. I can buy stuff if I want to. You have the story behind the liquors. That you did everything I need to know as far as a website. I'm not looking for like the story of life from a website. So
there you go. It'll get better over time.
So I do notice on your website you have the where to buy. You have 6 bottles. Your products, you have 3. So I am going to whine a little bit about not having all the bottles on the products page. But you know, that's we'll all.
Get there.
So we do have a segment called something. I don't know, Simon, what is it we got coming up?
So we have The More You Know, where we get to know a little bit more about Vince. So Vince, you mentioned you had a whiskey session at Comtea. How was that? How was
Dude, it was amazing. We were like my head of marketing, Jeff Hill, who I love, we were trying to figure out what to do at CompTIA. And he's like, why don't we do like alcohol and cyber and see if CompTIA goes for it? And they were like, sure, why not? And so we had 6 bottles of whiskey in the front of the room. And it was basically, you know, I would talk about cybersecurity. I'd talk about my time at the White House, and then I would talk about whiskey. And there was no transition between them. It was like, let's talk about cyber. Break. Here's how whiskey's made. I went into the room. You know, you show up 20 to 30 minutes early just to make sure everything's working, just to make sure you know where to plug in your laptop and all that crap. I went into the room and
we're supposed to do that, right, Simon? Yeah. I'm just saying we've had some technical issues. Go ahead though.
I went into the room like 20 minutes early and it was full already. And I was like, okay. And then by the time the session, and so we started talking like 15 minutes early, by the time session started, like my team was like going to all the rooms next to us that were supposed to have sessions that there was like two or three people in, and they were stealing chairs from their rooms.
Oh, and man.
And then we had a line of people out the door. And I realized we were in trouble the first time I passed the bottle around, like the first bottle for tasting, it made it halfway through the room and it was empty. I was like, oh, dang. So we polished off we polished off 5.5 bottles in an hour. I heard from folks that were in the room and they were like, dude, I didn't know if I could stand up following, like I was afraid to stand up after that session. And then I took the last half of a bottle on stage with me because we were doing a trivia competition. And I'm told I thought it was a lot funnier than the audience did, but
That's awesome. Oh, man. See, I heard so many awesome stories from CompTIA. I was supposed to go, and I had a failing of gravity, or as I like to call it, accelerated gravity, where the stairs at the bottom got closer to my head faster than I intended them to be. That was fun. Ashley Cooper, not a bot, Ashley Cooper, I'm relying on you to remember which vendor was giving out the pointy ears as swag. So who was giving out Spock ears?
I don't know.
He went through 5.5 bottles in an hour. I mean, give him a break.
Yeah, I don't remember Spock ears. Yeah. Is that a CompTIA?
Ashley will jump in if it's a CompTIA. So we have here. Okay, what the hell is this, Lyle? What is the biggest challenge we're working with MSPs? We're not selling anything here, buddy. We're but careful because this is recorded and it's in perpetuity. So
I mean, we're supposed to actually like answer real questions.
I mean, I'm all about the community involvement.
This is unprecedented.
I see what you did there.
Well done.
Look, I think I love MSPs. MSPs are the backbone of our economy in some ways. Like most of these small and medium businesses that have no freaking clue how to use technology rely on an MSP. And even though they're relying on that MSP to do their day-to-day tech, they're not willing to pay anything. Right. And so, you know, I think MSPs deal with this challenge of like, how do you deliver IT? How do you enable business? How do you secure it with a limited budget and customers that don't really want to be helped? And so, you know, I think the biggest challenge is just, you know, how do you support them in a way to do their business the right way? You know, the biggest challenge is their market. Like, you see all of these vendors that are trying to help MSPs sell. Right. Because it's like, it's really freaking hard to support these small and medium businesses and sell them and support them. And so, you know, to me, that's it. It's just the market conditions that MSPs are dealing with. And I have a lot of respect for being in the trenches that they are.
So I can give you credit. So you're already in rare air as being one of the two friends of the tech bar that has ever provided with their own brew. The other one did not have the, federal requirements, so we're not allowed to say his name on air, but we appreciate it regardless. but now you're the only person we've ever had where we got not one but multiple questions about business on the tech bar. We've gone 44 episodes or 43 episodes without ever having MSP questions on here, but we'll answer what we get.
I love it.
Tim's asking, what is the biggest challenge when working with fermentation? Okay, we're back to booze. I appreciate it. I read that as fragmentation the first time. I thought it was MSP questions. This is much better, though.
It must be a good bottle.
You know, yeasts have personalities, and like, I'm going to sidebar for a second. Like one of the coolest beers I've ever. Anybody ever try like the Rogue Beard beer? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Like Rogue had a beard beer where their like main brewer had a beard. And so he took yeast samples from his beard because he worked with yeast all the time and then used that to make a beer. I love the face. I love the face. but like there are so many strains of yeast, and each yeast has, you know, temperature tolerance, They have conversion, like the amount of sugar they'll convert. And so it's really understanding like what that yeast does and how it does it and how you take care of it. And some yeast, if you stress it, it's going to produce like sulfur and other off tastes. Some yeasts, like the Norwegian homebrew yeast that I'm talking about, if you stress it, it creates cool flavors. So, you know, at the end of the day, like fermentation and yeast, oh, that was fast. Holy cow.
Yeah.
So, so it's all about kind of trying a bunch of different yeast and like, you know, experimenting the same mash with five different types of yeast will take taste differently when it's fermented and then distilled out.
we have our super cousin.
I'm trying to track these comments.
Oh, the comments are wild. Danny's hilarious. Yeast will make a sour beer. I appreciate that, Caleb. Thank you.
I do not appreciate it.
Danny, of course, it would be a delicious beer. Oh, dude. Hold on. Lyle did ask a bourbon-related question. Thank you for bringing it back on topic, Lyle. I appreciate that. Bourbon-related question. I have a brand idea. Would love to see it available. What are the next steps? Okay. We didn't even start with the liquor. We went straight to the brand. I've seen MSPs start this exact way. No,
send me an encrypted message and we'll figure it out.
There you go. If we wanted to get, okay, so now this is real talk. If we wanted to get a Tech Bar branded bourbon, I'm not talking to make our own recipe. We're not there. But like, if we wanted to find somewhere to make a branded bourbon for like a limited release, like you have resources that can make that happen. This is right here. Tony's going to get displaced.
Right there.
Sorry, Tony. I love you, bro, but I'll miss you.
So what I would do is like, because we're a federally licensed distillery, like we can get liquor from places like MGP, and MGP has all sorts of cool stocks. You could get like a 6-year or an 8-year. You could get some really good aged whiskey. And then we could blend it. We could do an episode where we figure out the right blend, and then slap your own label on it. And, you know, we can get that label approved by the federal government and sell it.
Danny, I think I'm going to have to replace you as Tech Bar host. It's been a fun run, but Vince is taking your spot.
Totally understandable. I get it. I absolutely
get it. Jason asked, like, label approval is the biggest challenge. Like, spent most of my career in the military or federal government. Like, I hate bureaucracy, but the group that oversees liquor is called the TTB. And that organization is incredible.
Like the Tech Bar. Like,
I take a brute force approach to it. It's like, I will design a label and we submit it to TTB, and in less than a week, they come back and say, these five things are wrong. Fix it. And then you fix those five things, and then you submit it again, and they're like, okay, you're approved. So, like, it takes a couple of weeks max to get a label approved.
So what are they looking for on a label? Like, what's the, whatchamacallit? Like, there's things that have to be on there. What are they looking for that, like, they may deny for something?
So labeling requirements for the TTB all came out of, like, prohibition. When people were doing all sorts of nasty stuff and putting harmful things into alcohol. So they're really they're looking for truth in advertising. So they're making sure that, you know, how you're labeling the product and how you're describing it is truthful, and that you're not claiming things that are wrong. And then there are certain requirements you have to have on there, just like the government warning has to be on there. You have to have some details about, like, who does it. You have to have details about what it actually is. So like on our gin label, it's Devil's Bathtub Gin, but it says distilled from grain at the top. And so like, you just have to follow those requirements. It's pretty simple. We're not talking cybersecurity here, man. We're just talking liquor.
I love that the chat is like, it's really complicated. The security guy in the chat is like, isn't it really complicated? And Vince is like, nah, man, we got this. We can do this.
You know,
which is basically all the security shit I tell Jason. He's like, nah, it's not that complicated. All you got to do is,
Is Caleb related to you, I assume?
Yeah, he's our cousin.
Yeah, he's our cousin. Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay. So he drinks the methanol. That makes sense. Yeah. He must not be too bright.
Infamous cousin, super infamous cousin. So
he's a smarter, better looking one. Yeah.
Man. So it's funny that when Lau brought up I have a brand, but not an actual plan or anything, something similar happened to me. Ray knows, previously, well, a while back, my wife actually did hair. And I wanted to open a salon. And I had the name for the salon and had no idea how I was going to implement it. Would you like to know the name of that salon? I'm telling you, it would have been great. Blowjobs.
He's proud of this. I just want to point out that he's very proud of this.
Namaste.
Simon, you had something you
wanted to say. That.
That's funny. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Distilling With...
Nice.
So magical.
It was magical. I appreciate it because our last episode, while tons of fun, didn't have like all the segments and stuff we're used to. So, you know, I went back and I was like, Phil, Simon, Juan, make it magical. Yeah. And they did. They made it magical.
You want to see another cool one, Ray? All right, Vince.
Do it.
We have a very, very, very important question that we ask every time here at the Tech Bar. And it is...
So, okay, to give some background to this. Hold on, to give some background to this. So, we do the Star Wars or Star Trek thing, and the exact thing I asked Phil was make it as cheesy and as annoying to every fan ever. Like, I want this as like Trek Wars. Like, you know, I want this as frustrating where, like, you know, Kirk with a lightsaber, you know, the Enterprise into the Death Star. And I will say Phil hit it on the money. Thank you, Phil. My blood pressure has gone up. I'm instantly angry. You did a good job, man. Thank you very much. So Trekker Wars, man.
Oh, definitely Trek for me. Like, I cannot change the laws of physics.
Oh, yeah, he's no, Scotty, man. Yes, Eagle 5 was in there.
That was amazing.
All right, so I like you, but you're not allowed to talk Star Wars or Star Trek anymore. Now, I'm obviously a Star Wars kind of love my Star Wars stuff here.
There you go.
Bye, Baby Yoda.
Have you been watching like the latest Star Wars series, whatever that is?
Andor.
I haven't watched Andor because I was watching. Go ahead.
I keep falling asleep on Andor. It gets so slow.
I haven't watched it yet because I wanted to watch. We were doing something. We didn't have kids last weekend. My mother-in-law watched our little one. So Michelle got in the mood to watch Star Wars. So we watched, we watched Rogue One. We watched the last three. We watched Force Awakens on. And then I was like, okay, well, you got to see Kenobi, right? Like, you know, so we've been talking. So we ended up watching like all six episodes of Kenobi. Again, I've seen it before, but you know, I was telling her like all the Easter eggs and all the stuff and you know, all the cool stuff. I love that. And, so I haven't watched Andor yet because between She-Hulk and all the, you know, fall TV finally back on and I haven't watched it yet. So,
I mean, I love Star Wars. They're great shows, but if I had to pick like Star Trek, but I do think like Rogue One to me is like one of the best movies in the series. Like I did such a great job with that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now, and I can't even say like if I have to identify as Star Wars, but I've been watching. Just watched all of Discovery, all the seasons of Discovery. I watched. I'm watching actually now. I'm on season three of the Seth MacFarlane one, the one he made like kind of his version of the Orville, which is not bad. Caleb. This is why you're not allowed to come on Tech Bar, dude.
The Star Trek movie where they like encountered this AI, the V'ger. Like that movie, like I love old school Star Trek. I don't think I've watched very much since like Voyager and like Next Generation. I haven't watched any of the new stuff. But like that stuff
I don't mind
great.
It. Like I It's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, Spock talking to whales in the, you know, the San Francisco Bay. I mean, that okay, whatever.
One. I don't know why.
That was just such a weird one. I mean, do you have, someone's got to do the mashup of Spock talking to the whales and like Dory or Dory talking to the whales from Finding Nemo. That's got to be like, Phil, make it happen. Okay. So.
And then there's Spaceballs, which I think is also.
It's Spaceballs. I mean, anything, anything, Mel is freaking awesome, dude. Yeah. No, I have a picture of Geo.
Still waiting.
What happened?
He's been saying he's going to make a sequel forever.
It could happen. I mean, Clerks 3 is coming out, so, you know, it could happen.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't get away with those jokes anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like Young Frankenstein and like, I mean, these were great fucking movies, but like, you know, with current climate, I don't think, I mean, you'd have a bunch of like people our age that would watch all of it for sure. But like, I don't think they'd do well in the theaters, unfortunately.
You don't think Blazing Saddles wouldn't get somebody canceled?
There's a lot of
stuff. I just want to see the casting for it. I want to see the casting for it for the actor that has the balls to come in and read for it, knowing full well like they're not coming out of this alive. Dude, and we got a new norm in the chat. Jason says virtual backgrounds are the new norm.
That's right. All right.
So, Danny, are you? Oh, my glass is empty. Got to refill. Danny, are you watching the Dolphins game right now?
Mm-mm. It starts at 8:15.
Oh, because Danny's a hardcore.
I'm definitely mailing in the last 15 minutes. Just letting you guys know.
I was born and raised in southeastern Ohio, so like the Bengals, you know, they're part of my legacy there.
I didn't know the Cinco Ocho had changed his name.
They're gonna get their
Cinco
Ocho.
Ocho Cinco. Yeah. No. Okay, so here's the thing.
He was reading it backwards. So, it's okay.
Yeah. It's good bourbon. It's like, I want to be clear. Like, talk about dialing it in. You got this.
Got it. Bourbon makes you talk like Yoda. Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Vince and Danny, you got this.
What brand of bourbon? Motherwell?
Oh, that's right. That's what it is.
I think it's there you go. That Motherwell.
Yeah. Tim has it. He says the Bucks. Like, people ask me who my NFL team is. I'm like, I grew up in southeastern Ohio, so my professional football team is the Buckeyes. And then I root for the Bengals, the Bears, the Steelers, or the Browns. You know,
that doesn't make sense to me. Bucks or Dolphins. That doesn't make sense to me at all. I don't understand that.
So here's the thing. I do the same thing. I used to watch the Dolphins, kind of like watching my 9-year-old play Little League. It's, you support your team. It's not real football. And then I'd watch, you know, I'd watch the Eagles. I'd watch McNabb, and, you know, those are my Eagles, right? And then, you know, nowadays the Buccaneers, I'll watch Tampa Bay. Nothing wrong with them. So,
in other words, Ray jumps from bus to bus, guys, just so you guys know.
No. I've always supported the Dolphins. Like, I support my son in Little League, and I supported my daughter in hip-hop, hip-hop kids. But let's be honest, my daughter's gravitationally challenged. She's not going to be J-Lo.
I just need to check. You were saying? Yeah, okay. Do you guys play fantasy football?
I do.
Make sure my check your lineup, man. You just reminded me. I'm like, okay, I have to make sure. I've got Waddle and Higgins tonight, so I'm gonna be rooting for like a big passing game tonight.
So, Simon, you want to play so they could check their lineups and cement them? You want to play the next segment? Since
Let's go ahead and
I'm gonna take this right balls to balls. Yeah, there you go.
It's time for a lightning round. 15 questions coming in hot.
I you know, at this point, like, I don't even know what the segments are for. I just, yeah, okay, cool. Oh, poor Rose. Keith, I don't know when we're going to see Dallas in the Super Bowl.
Man, they always talk about Dallas being in the Super Bowl, and then they always flop every year. And then the following year, be like, Dallas is going to be the team. And then they're not the team.
Are you allowed to say that while wearing a Dolphins hat, Danny?
Yeah, but we're just never in it. There's a difference.
Because you can say the same thing. Be like, this is the year. We finally have a quarterback. This is the year. Yeah. All right. So the lightning round. Huh?
I got Tua tonight.
Okay. So, Danny, you want to go off with the lightning round questions?
Yeah, let me get to that page. I was in my fantasy league. All right, here we go. Vince, you ready?
One shot. I suppose.
People think you just answered. You just answered. Ready? Favorite day of the week?
Wednesday.
That's interesting. Should we stop or keep going? I kind of want to know about that. This is our first Wednesday, Ray. All right, why Wednesday?
Yeah, okay, so why Wednesday?
I don't know. It just seems like that day of the week where you're like you're halfway through and you're like ready to push through the rest. So it's like you get the big wheel at the top of the hill and you ride it all the way down fast.
Okay, that's fair. I like how it's like, we're going to ask you real quick. Don't think. Okay, why did you pick that answer?
Well, I mean, come on. You usually get a Thursday or Friday. Or
no, I was curious as well.
Okay, yeah. Second question. Ready? What condiments do you put on your hot dog?
Relish and ketchup.
The correct answer is plain. Pineapples on pizza.
No.
Ew.
The correct answer is yes.
Ew. No, it is not. You are not allowed to give correct answers, Danny.
It's really good. Listen, if you get it with like pepperoni or some sausage, it's like salty sweet. It's really good. Anyways, all right. Here we go. Now to more business stuff. Docs or phone support?
What was that?
Docs or phone support? Documentation.
I don't think this makes sense outside of like having Blaine on. Like, I don't think this makes sense for like anybody else.
Look,
does Dark Cube have phone support?
I think docs are great because like self-help. In college, I was actually, my job while I was going to college was phone support for a laptop company called Winbook. So I was actually the guy on the other end of the phone answering all that sort of stuff. So like, it was an interesting gig. But I would much rather like have the answers available so I could figure it out.
Okay.
But I hate documentation. Fair enough. Everybody hates documentation.
I kind of love documentation, sir. That's my jam.
All right, here we go. Last song you listened to.
Oh, I don't know. I listened to a bunch of like funky, interesting country. Let me see what my YouTube. I listen to YouTube music. It says "Let It Burn." Oh. Let It Burn by Paul Kathan.
Elvis, the only real musician. Keith.
Okay.
I love you, Keith. I love you, Keith.
I love like the legit blues country music. There's just so much good music out there that's not the commercial country. That's what I just throw in my headphones and just crank out.
So Christine is Caleb's wife, also our cousin. Milana's their baby, who's the most adorable frickin' kid you can imagine. And to know she's watching, hey, Milana. Hi, Mama. Hello. So I appreciate
probably
that.
Probably run away already the moment I wave.
All right. Yeah, oh, Matt Fox. Matt Fox was talking about his Winbook X1. That one sucked. Yes. That was like they had like signed up to this new manufacturer to do this new slick Winbook, and it broke a lot.
Yes. I can't say I ever looked at the Winbook. That's cool.
Well, this is like,
all right, you ready for the next one?
Late 90s.
Vince, favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
I have to answer fast. Like, probably Lander, Wyoming.
I don't want to get into that.
It's out in like the middle of Wyoming near the Wind River Mountains. I'm a West guy. I love mountains. I love fly fishing.
Okay. Hey, we got a smile. All right.
Nice.
All right. This one's always controversial. Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Do you want to qualify why it's controversial? Like, do you want to give them the benefit of that knowledge first?
Definitely animals.
That's why.
Because like animals see so much crap that people don't expect them to be able to report on. Like imagine how much you could learn about the world by being able to talk to animals.
Exactly. Favorite holiday.
I suppose it's 4th of July. Like I love,
all right.
I love buying illegal fireworks in Pennsylvania and then launching them in the state that I go to, which I won't name so I don't get in trouble, but
you already named it earlier. Just saying.
Nice.
All right.
Okay, so I want to go back to the animal thing. Which animal do you think would have the best stories?
Like dogs or cats, man? Like, well, although I think cats, like, all they would say is, like, I want to kill you. Like, I think that 90% of the time that they're thinking is, like, how can I kill you?
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a fair assessment.
Oh, damn. Tim with the harshness says, I talk to animals all day named Danny and Simon. Damn. That's unprecedented, yo.
It's your new norm, you know?
So I was talking to Jason. And I was asking him about the proof, and I was like, okay, is this going to be, you know, am I going to be stumbling, or is this should I be, you know, drinking something else at night just to be able to make it 2 hours? And he's like, well, the problem is, he goes, it's a moderate proof. It's not crazy, but it's so good, you got to be careful with drinking too much. It's really, I can't say this enough. It is real. I'm not saying because he's on. Look, I'll do this. He doesn't need to know. This is really fucking good. I go to freaking Motherwell. Please go.
All you're making me feel bad is that Ian decided to come on Tech Bar Week. That's all you're doing.
I also said Motherwell. So, there no, this is, drank. Yeah. There you go.
No,
congratulations,
like the
dude. This is
sourcing.
Seriously good shit. Yeah.
The whiskey we're sourcing is out of Illinois, and they have like, we tried a bunch of different stuff and we really like how it tastes. But then you add in our young, like if you take a young weeded bourbon and make a narrow cut, it adds a really cool, interesting flavor to it. And then those together.
So what does that mean to make a narrow cut? What is that?
So I can go like forever on this topic, but
go for it.
Nerd out, man. Yeah.
So if you had 100% pure ethanol, the boiling temperature would be like 178 degrees. If you have 100% pure water, the boiling temperature is 212. And so when you make a mash, depending on how strong the alcohol is in it, so the ABV, whether it's 7% or 12%, that boiling temperature is somewhere between those two numbers.
Okay.
And so when it starts to boil, ethanol starts to come off. And very early, you get like acetone and methanol and some of these funky things that come off early. And that's called the heads. There's also the fours that, like, if you're watching moonshiners and they throw the stuff away, it's the four shots. They say that's the stuff that'll make you go blind.
Okay.
So the heads is pretty, like, pretty harsh and chemically. And then as the temperature goes, as the ABV of the solution goes down and the temperature rises, because the boiling temperature is rising, you start to get a different blend of water and ethanol. And so somewhere in the range of like 188 to 190 degrees boiling temperature, you're getting into what they call the hearts. And that's the stuff that is just delicious right off the still. And then that goes up to about 202, 203 degrees. And then once you get up to 202, 203 degrees, you're pulling off more and more water. And water molecules are heavier than ethanol molecules. And so they start to pull oils and other stuff off. And so, like, as you're running a still, you start to get, like, oil slicks on top of your stuff as it's going up to 203, 204, 205. And so when you're distilling, the art of it all is saying, what of the early stuff and what of the late stuff do I keep to make a really interesting liquor? And the people that make cheap liquor keep a lot of it. So when you open a really cheap whiskey and it smells harsh, it's because there's a lot of heads in it.
Okay.
And those in the,
and they're doing that so they can have more volume per whatever they
yeah.
just okay.
Yeah, so if you
so it get... really is more expensive to make better tasting bourbon or whiskey.
Yeah, and then the difficulty goes into, like, if you're going to age it, like if you're going to age it for 8 years, you're going to make a wider cut because it's going to make a more interesting thing that's going to settle down over 8 years. And so with our weeded bourbon, we take a very narrow cut of the really good stuff that has some really good flavors, and then we blend it into stuff that's been aged already by somebody else.
Okay, that makes sense. And that's how you just get it out and get it bottled faster, because you're kind of circumventing a little. Not circumventing, but you're... I got you.
There are a bunch of places that are doing, like, accelerated aging. There's, like, Cleveland Whiskey in Cleveland, Ohio. And that stuff, like, it just doesn't work for them.
I'm not a fan. Like,
you've got to age whiskey at least 2 years. And so when you're starting a new distillery, your choice is to either sell somebody else's stuff or blend your own into it. So,
yeah. Well, I'll say Motherwell again. I'm very impressed. This is
cheers.
Good shit. So are you in any... So where are you guys selling out of? Like, are you in a Total Wine or an ABC yet? Or where are you guys selling out of?
We're currently building up product, and we're going to be selling out of the... It's called 58 West, is the restaurant bar tasting room that the winery owns. So we'll... Okay. So our order of precedence goes selling through them. Then as we have enough product, we will start to sell online. And then as we have more product, we'll sell through the local stores.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I...
And we should have enough product to really start selling by the time we get around Q1 of 2023.
You know
what's
what?
You're talking just about curious. What's MSRP for this?
That's the bourbon's around $43 a bottle.
Oh, it's cheap. I mean,
yep.
You gotta send
that's a good daily drinker price point. That's
amen. Yep.
Damn, that's... I think I just found my daily drinker. Increase production a little faster, please, if you don't mind. Yeah,
and we could... Lyle's question. We'll be the first liquor company to sell through the MSP channel.
Yeah, you heard it first on Tech Bar. There you go.
There you go. Hey, there's an interesting business model. Do we have a sponsor?
Yeah, I think we're this episode sponsored by, not for any compensation other than beautiful liquor, by Motherwell Distilling Company. Go to motherwelldistilling.co.
Yeah, in order for that compensation, or, you know, both hosts must receive a bottle. I'm just saying, Vince.
There we go.
You guys are talking about it. I'm just having this.
Caleb, you can come visit my office anytime. Well, I can't promise there's going to be any more, but you can come visit anytime. I have a very healthy bar at the office. Hold on, there was actual questions in here. Are you going to IT Nation Connect? You are, right? Oh, because you're shaving. Yes, you're shaving. Yes. You're part of the beards. Simon, can you find that link with the beard thing that Matt Lee and Jason Slagle and all these others are doing? I think Alex is in it too.
Since everybody's been drinking, this is a great... Hopefully everybody like that's following this has been drinking. This is a great time to donate to this beard cause. Like, this is money going to really good causes, and a bunch of us are going to shave. So help us get there.
Yeah. OIT has already donated in there, but, you know, definitely, we're going to put up the link in the chat now and we'll put it up on screen. It has a bunch of really worthwhile causes. Go donate. There's no reason, even if $10, $15, whatever, go donate. 'Cause it's a super awesome thing. And there's a lot of friends of ours in there. You got Slagle, Matt Lee, Adam Evans. You got tons of our friends in there. Bob Coppage is in there, Alex Farling. So, you know, come on, guys, go step up and go donate.
And I'll bring a handful of bottles of my own stuff to Connect. And so if you donate, you can show up at Connect and tell me you donated, and I'll give you some samples.
Ooh, oh, that's awesome. I love that.
There you go.
That is the best way of, the best form of bribery I've ever heard. I love that.
I'm wrapping the logo on my hat too. So
I love that. So what's a, so okay? Yeah, okay. Because I was looking at it and I'm like, so I opened the package and I got the hat and I got the cup and I got the mug, and I was like, I'm looking at the Dark Cube logo and I'm looking at the hat and I'm like, that just didn't jive. I didn't realize it was the Motherwell logo.
There you go. So it's that is we awesome. Hired a designer in Ohio, and he does like land grant brewing in Ohio. But Motherwell Iron and Steel did a lot of bridges, and so we sent him pictures of bridges. And so these are like the trusses on a bridge, and it's an M and a W. So it's like you know, you hire good talent for designers and marketing and branding, and they come up with cool stuff.
They do. And that's kind of like my favorite thing. Like, you know, just the stories behind. I love the stories behind stuff. Like, I loved watching Kenobi again because I knew the stories behind it after I watched the making of Cloudy. I don't know. Cloudy came from the conference that we first did, the Cloud Connections conference. And Juan came up with Cloudy McCloudy. There was an actual naming thing, and Cloudy McCloudy was the was what came out of it. Looking through flasks to bring with for tasting. You know, we've been asking people like how are they going to prepare for IT Nation? Sounds like bringing a flask is the smart way to do it. Caleb, I promise nothing, dude. I absolutely promise nothing. If I drink all of this before I get a chance to hang with you, I will get another bottle and maybe drink that before you get a chance to. I'm not promising anything. That's awesome, dude. All right, so we have lightning round questions left to do, or what are we doing, Simon?
Yeah, we do have some lightning round questions left. So the next one, Vince, favorite beer?
I love Cigar City, like what's the High Life?
Oh my god, that's mine too.
I love that.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great beer.
Okay, invisibility or super strength?
Invisibility.
Favorite childhood TV show?
A-Team.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, okay.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, 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 dun.
If you could travel...
bum, bum, bum. Dun, dun, dun. I love it when a plan comes together.
Okay, if you could travel back in time...
Hold on, Simon. Have you seen any of the A-Team? I'm not even talking. Oh, you know what? I'll allow the new movie.
Not even the new movie.
I pity the fool.
Why do you ask? Nah. You know the answer.
Oh, sorry. I know what it is. I've just never seen it. All right.
Killing me, dude. All right, go ahead.
If you could travel back in time, what period would you go to?
It would probably be to like the 1920s, 1930s to take out Hitler.
Yeah, but then you couldn't drink.
So
then you couldn't drink.
So here's the thing with that though. Like, you know, there's this whole like, if you kill Hitler, it puts us on a different path. And like, how do you prevent like that not being worse? No, I mean, don't get me wrong, fucking horrible. But like, how do you know? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, how do you know it wouldn't be worse if you killed Hitler?
I don't know, but like I'd be willing to take the risk.
That's fair. That's fair. And if you can go back in time, you can always like go a little bit before you killed Hitler and just, you know, stop yourself from killing Hitler if it's that bad. You know what I mean? So
that's a good point.
That's the part that like most people like skip over, right? Like if you have the chance to go back in time, you're assuming it's not a one-time thing. You can go back and do, you know, fix your errors and make it worse or whatever. Simon, you should be in timeout for drinking, and there's no excuse because there's plenty of bourbon at the office.
Kind of related, but not related. Did you guys see that Quantum Leap is coming back?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
I think an episode's out already.
Scott Bakula, like I love that freaking show.
Yes, you know, and they were talking about like how it's possible because like. I don't even remember how it finished, but if I remember correctly, it finished in a way that like more episodes should not be possible, right? So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it does. When does it come out? Episode guide. Possible. No, but like, you know, not season one. All right, Danny, you continue this because right now I'm looking at Quantum Leap.
So I know the new one just came out with some episodes, I believe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, next question while you guys look that up.
It's go to rental right there.
Go to karaoke song for Vince.
Sweet Caroline.
That's a pretty good song.
Gets everybody in the bar.
Absolutely.
That is true. That is true.
Do you know any of the lyrics, Simon? Besides ba ba ba.
Sweet Caroline.
I mean, that's fair. That's absolutely fair.
I just know that by the time that song plays, everyone's drunk and singing it together. And
yeah,
it's actually slower than SFTP because of the encryption overhead.
I thought we knew that though. What, Tim? Oh, he's doing a restore while watching Tech Bar. Okay, that's fair. That's reasonable.
That's what we're here for. While you're doing overtime,
but at least everybody and their brother's not able to intercept it.
Yeah, encryption is good. Yeah, Danny, I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. You want to say something?
I don't know. How do I sound? How do I sound, everybody? Do I sound beautiful?
You sound amazing.
Thank you, yeah. Vince. Give me my bottle, damn it. No, I'm just kidding.
We were supposed to do this in the office, but because of hurricane prep.
I know. Ooh. Stupid hurricane. I know.
See, and since he said unprecedented, I'm going to raise my glass of Motherwell bourbon.
There we go.
I'm going to raise my Miami Dolphin glass.
Can you know what? I'll take it. Danny, can you answer? Can you answer, Caleb? Danny?
What do you mean? I do have a mic. I have a mic. I do have a mic.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Is it bad? Caleb, is it bad? Don't lie to me, Caleb.
This is our entire life growing up. You give him like one little bit of insecurity and he's there for like hours afterward. We'll hear this. He's going to listen to the show again after it's done.
Nope, I won't. It's bad. I'm not listening to it. Nope, not going to happen.
Danny, you're good. All right, we're going to move on to our next segment. So, seeing as Vince has his own distillery, we're going to play a game called Rate That Liquor, where we're going to rate. Okay. I'm going to put up some bottles, and you guys are going to have to rate them from best to worst. So give me a second. Let me find the... Cool.
There you go. That's a little bit of bluegrass for us. That's not too bad. So can you tell us the rules of this, Simon? Because you kind of make up these rules where we don't know what the hell we're doing.
So this is based on popularity amongst the bourbon liquor community.
So rotten tomatoes.
No, so this is based not on critics, on popularity amongst normal Americans.
Drinkers?
Throughout the U.S. Yeah.
Normal Americans.
So where? Okay, who's doing the rating, though? I need to know, like, what website is doing this.
It's a 25 to 30-year-olds, married, I don't know. Like, I don't know the specifics of who's rating it.
Look, it's going to be Maker's, Buffalo Trace, and Elijah Craig.
Maker's, Buffalo Trace, and Elijah Craig. So Maker's is
that's
best.
That's not in terms of quality of liquor, but I guarantee. Like, I
think you're
like
saying from most popular to least popular? Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
Or least to most? Yeah.
Like most popular, like a lot of people like Maker's. It's a weeded. It's kind of a weeded a weeded whiskey. And then Buffalo Trace, a lot of people like it. It's a harder to get one. And then not a lot of people have heard about Elijah Craig. That's mine.
Yeah. I do have a bottle behind me. Yeah. I mean, Maker's is okay for making old fashions. I don't mind it. It's sweet. So, you know. Buffalo Trace is hard. You can get it at bars easily in Miami, but it's hard to get at the liquor store. Like, it's one of those things you have to ask when it comes in. It sucks. I don't know. Popularity.
Into Slack has gotten me a couple bottles of Buffalo Trace pretty easily here in Virginia.
Yeah, I have a handle. Yeah, I love that when you've scripted your alcohol. I love that. Now I'm going to ask this question: if you were going to pick one of these to drink tonight, which one would you grab? Because I'm going to bet it's the Elijah Trace. Craig. Really?
Buffalo Trace. Yeah.
So Buffalo Trace or Eagle Rare?
I think Eagle Rare is a little overrated. I mean, I would probably go Eagle Rare. Buffalo Trace is like a lower, like you get Buffalo Trace in like the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eagle Rare comes in the, you know, 40s. So I guess I could go, okay. Go Eagle Rare.
Okay. Danny, you agree with this? Makers, Buffalo Trace, Elijah Craig?
I'm going to go. I'm going to say Elijah Craig, Makers, Buffalo Trace.
You think Elijah Craig's the most popular on this list? See, Elijah Craig's pretty easy to get down here. You can get the toasted. You can get small barrel pretty easily.
Look, one of the top liquors sold by ABC in Virginia is like the freaking Fireball whiskey crap.
Oh my God.
You can't rate these things on quality.
By peppermint, you know, when they're picking up peppermint schnapps and some Jaeger at the same time.
Okay, so for this one.
I got heartburn just thinking about
Makers that. Is actually the least rated, then Elijah, and then Buffalo Trace.
Wait.
Popularity?
These look like rating. That looks like the font and the stars from the Distiller app.
Right. That's why I was asking, where did this come from?
It is from the
Distiller. From Distiller?
Oh, from Distiller.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you had told me that, I would have gone another way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now we know where we're going with this.
This was practice.
I'm just saying, it looks scary that I download an app and they're telling me to rate the app. That's what it looks like to me.
No, Simon, is it scary that I recognize the font from the Distiller app?
Yeah, a little bit. All right, next up, we have...
Michter's. No, yeah, Michter's, dude. It's okay.
Jack Daniels and then Widow Jane. 10 years.
Now that I know we're talking to the Distiller app, I know the answer here.
It's going to be Michter's, right? Because Widow Jane tastes like ass.
Michter's, Widow Jane, and then Jack Daniels. But like Widow Jane is one of those, like, it's an interesting whiskey. It's not as good as you'd think it would be, but it's pretty good.
I liked it for the story of, like, they don't even have the caverns or whatever it is. It's like it's on the land next to them. Like it's a cool little story, and I liked it. It's out of New York, but I didn't care for it. I don't think I got halfway through that bottle. And I don't do Jack. Honey Jack I'll do every once in a while, but I'm not a Jack fan. Yeah, I got to say, Michter's is the only bottle I drink from those three, personally. But Danny, what say you, dude?
I'm going to go with Michter's, Widow Jane, and Jack Daniels. I don't know why. It just feels that's what it is.
Okay.
I didn't think Widow Jane was that popular. Like, I've seen it everywhere. It's an easy to get, but it's not. I see. I'm going to say Michter in that order. Michter's, Jack, Widow Jane, because everybody knows Jack. I mean,
so third place we have Jack. Second place we have Michter's, and then first place we have Widow Jane.
This is ridiculous. I call shenanigans.
Go put your ratings at distiller.com so you can change this.
And which of these bottles would you drink? Go back to the slide. Which of those bottles would you drink, Vince, if you're going to pick one up for the night?
Michter's. This is their bourbon, not their rye.
Yeah.
I'd still go with, like, I'd still pick the Michter's rye. Like, Michter's rye is, like, one of those, like, pinnacles of a rye.
Good shit.
But I'd still go with the Michter's.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say those three.
Next up, we have Rum Edition. Captain Morgan, Flor de Caña, and Bacardi. And I did that one just for you, Danny.
And I'm going to get it so wrong, I feel.
So what is it, Danny?
All right, Vince. I want to know from Vince first, though. No. Yeah.
Flor de Caña, Bacardi, then Captain Morgan.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Danny, what say you, dude?
Flor de Caña, Captain Morgan, Bacardi.
And that Flor de Caña is a 12-year.
Yeah, that's some good. I still have that bottle. It's a good sip.
It's hard to read numbers that small.
Bacardi cap, whatever the important
live stream.
Whatever the other one is, bro.
Yeah,
that is. He's Canadian. He's not drinking a lot
of
rum.
I know.
Come on, dude.
He doesn't know what rum is. Get it?
Eh?
We get spoiled in Miami with rum. I mean, come on. All right. So, Simon, what is it? Is it Bacardi Cap and whatever the other one is?
Be Bacardi last place, Cap, and then Flor de Caña.
That's interesting.
Next up, vodka.
Whoa, we're not going to give me any, like, props here?
All right. Okay.
That's fine. No, that's
so
fine.
Which one would you... Well, we already know what you would have, Danny. The Flor de Caña.
Danny wants to make sure that we acknowledge
the Flor de Caña.
Right. That's,
like,
that's what he's
I mean,
going
I
for.
Think everybody here...
Yeah, Flor de Caña.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd pick up a glass of Motherwell instead. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by Motherwell.
I'm supremely impressed with this bottle. It is not
Appleton's. It's Appleton's. They have some really good rum in Appleton's. That Stephen Spaulding.
Okay, next up, vodka.
Ciroc, shit! Good to know.
Turn off Kettle One.
So the legal definition of vodka is that it's basically high enough ethanol that it's like colorless, tasteless, and odorless.
Yeah.
So the whole
he's not, Caleb's not wrong, man.
No flavor.
Right, but you can. Those are all shit vodkas. I'm sorry.
So Tito's buys, according to legend.
I like Tito's.
Tito's, don't sue me. This is all third-hand information that I'm not just calling accurate. But they basically buy, like, railroad cars full of fuel-grade ethanol, pure ethanol, which is, you know, fine. All alcohol is ethanol. And they dilute it down to, like, 50%, and then they run it through the still and call it Tito's Handmade. So they're buying ethanol at, like, $2 to $3 a gallon. It's probably more now. And then they're selling it at... what, $70 a gallon? It's really nice. Good freaking margins. And then what you can do is you can chill that, you know, super cool. And what the chilling does is it causes the oils in that vodka to get a little bit thicker, and you can filter it, and then you can make like a Kettle One or a Belvedere, or you can run it through run it through activated charcoal and make a Smirnoff sort of thing. So that's really the difference here is, you know, what temperature you filter it and how you filter it.
That's pretty dope.
What's a good vodka? Because I drink Tito's, and they said Tito's is crap.
Look, it all comes off at like 95% ethanol, so it's just all pure ethanol.
Yeah.
And then it's... I mean, you're not drinking ethanol, vodka because it's like something you can drink neat. You're drinking it to mix it with stuff.
Right. Okay. So out of these, which is the worst and which is the top one? Even though they're all shit.
It's all branding. So I'd go like Smirnoff is the worst, Kettle One second, Ciroc is third because they have these brands around them.
Yeah. You got P. Diddy, bro. I mean, come on.
All right. Let's do this. So, you were right, Smirnoff, Ciroc, and then Kettle One.
Okay.
All right.
And then for the last category, we have beers. Samuel Adams, Blue Moon, and Vex.
See, I'm abstaining from this because I'm not a beer guy at all. Like, I'll drink it, but I'm not, like, fancy about it.
What do you think,
Vince? Lyle wants to know what you think of Everclear, Vince.
I may have a couple gallons of stuff sitting downstairs at like 175 proof. That's basically Everclear. Everclear's all about like mixing with Kool-Aid or whatever else you're going to mix it with to get drunk. Everclear is not a drink that you're going to take because you appreciate the flavor of spirits.
It's a losing brain cells kind of drink.
Yep. It's to get there fast.
Efficiency.
Yep.
So Caleb wants to, or Stephen wants to know what you think about Alberta Springs whiskey.
I'm not sure I know Alberta Springs whiskey, but I know there are a lot of really good Canadian ryes that are out there. And like brands like Whistle Pig actually buy a lot of Canadian ryes and are mixing it in with other things to make their Whistle Pig brands.
And Milana has a lot to say about this. She says, "See, Bob."
I literally thought she was asleep and was on her phone. That's what I thought happened.
Milana's daddy is a beer drinker, so she has lots to say on the subject.
Yeah, none of these are craft beers. None of these are like. I think this question is unprecedented.
There you go.
So,
would you drink any of these?
I drink Sam's. I'm not a big Blue Moon fan, but, you know. I think you're like Sam Beck's Blue Moon.
Not a big beer guy either.
I'm thinking this bottle has a hole in it, just letting you know. You got to fix your process.
So. It's leaking.
There's still a lot left. I'll be there
tomorrow. It's definitely leaking. It's you know, there's no way I've drank that much.
So we have a choice, guys. Are we gonna do rate that film or go straight to Florida, not Florida? What do you think?
We got Drunken Confessions. I mean, we got we have some options here. I'll give you the option, Vince. You're the guest. Drunk Confessions, rate that film, or Florida, not Florida. Simon's on pins and needles.
I'm like waiting to like click
because he needs to know about.
Look, Florida is going through some really sucky times right now, so let's do Florida, not Florida.
That's some good solidarity. I'll raise a glass to that. Look at the nobility of Mother Well. That is absolutely amazing.
Simon, what's in the.
I feel that Phil is reusing some of those, the music. just saying. I recognize that. Tim just sent me a picture. He's responding to Tech Bar in his command screen, trying to do those backups. That's awesome. All right. So we got Florida, not Florida. Man arrested for using magic card trick to steal Pokemon merch at Walmart.
Did this happen in
so
Florida?
So, like the one where you Florida, take a card and disappear like this? Is that what it is?
Not Florida. We don't do magic.
So, again, Vince.
Not Florida. That seems like too much skill involved to be Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's not Florida.
I'm going not Florida.
What does the chat say?
Was it like the one where they go like this and they disappear the card like that? Is that?
I don't know, Danny. Huh, let me guess. I don't know who wins the games. All right. So we have Vince, or you three saying not Florida. Caleb saying not Florida.
I'm saying not Florida.
And even though we're doing Florida, not Florida, like in the drunk convention, like I actually did magic shows in high school. Like this was
me too.
Like there you go. So like this whole like how do you do? I don't understand the question for a magic card trick to steal Pokemon merch, but I'm assuming sleight of hand here.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like what was the. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The only thing I can think of is like, you know, when they take a card and they show it and they hide it behind the hand, like, I can't imagine.
Gavin's going Florida.
Yeah, I'm going not Florida. No Florida, too much talent. I agree with Caleb.
Yeah,
we have Gavin saying
what is it, Simon?
So this is actually Florida, Pinellas County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny, isn't that going to be your neighbor or something like that?
I'm in Manatee County. I'm going to.
Ah, Okay.
But yeah. I think Pinellas is pretty sure that's him. Pretty sure.
Okay. Next up, woman arrested after bringing her pet raccoon Rocky inside bar.
They got a name. Okay, so. Okay, so Vince, you might remember this. Like there's a. So Vince, did you ever do the Rocky the raccoon with the spring in him that you make move?
Yeah,
I had one of those. I'm sensing a magic theme here. Definitely Florida.
Danny, what do you say?
I'm gonna say not Florida. We're more of a ferret type of or possum, if you will. I think.
Possum. If this was possum, I would Florida? Say.
Yeah,
not really. No.
Yeah, we got a lot.
If it was possum, it would be us.
Virginia. But like, if this was armadillo.
Yeah, it would be armadillo in Florida. That's for sure. Gator, yes. Raccoon, no. That's accurate.
Yeah, it's actually. Wrong.
Okay. All right, Simon. What is it, dude?
North Dakota. That sounds like it.
Yeah. Right. So, like, what part's against the law for bringing a raccoon in the bar, though? Like,
yeah, I don't. I mean, you could bring a pet.
I feel like you could get away with that in Florida. Like, that was my not Florida reason. Because in Florida, I feel like there'd just be a picticture of some lady with a raccoon. Like,
it's related to potential rabies exposure.
I mean, I could say that about some girls I dated in high school. That's not, you know, I'm just saying. And Motherwell Bourbon is fantastic.
I'm seeing a little frothing in the mouth there, Danny. Like, there might be potential rabies exposure there.
Yeah, it's the emotional support raccoon.
Emotional support animals, I'm telling you.
Okay, next up. Man arrested after telling a playground full of kids where babies come from.
Florida.
Florida.
That is Florida.
That sucks. It's Florida.
That's teaching time in Florida.
Cigar City has their Florida Man beer. Have you guys seen that? Like, I love that. Like,
I have seen that.
It's like all the news articles are like, Florida Man does this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this was Florida. This was Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah, some. Is that Mike Tyson?
Badass tattoos.
Jesus. He's like, now kiss.
Dude, that guy is telling kids where babies come from?
Those kids are going to be celibate their entire lives. I'm just saying.
Let me see how far Clearwater is from where I am. Well, that's Tampa. That's North Tampa.
Okay. Next up. Woman hospitalized for 3 days after dog poos on her face while sleeping.
Why hospitalized, though? Like, what?
Yeah.
That's so many questions here.
It really
do you
is.
You have an article, but it gives it away, right?
I do have the article.
All right.
I have no GitHub ready with for my urban recipes.
You should have a GitHub for that. I mean,
I should.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's your new recipe right there.
That's a good branding idea. Is like open sourcing your recipes so everyone knows exactly what you do. Like, it's, I like that.
So I'm thinking like at IT Nation, Vince, like there should be like we should be doing something like a magic and whiskey type event. Like, I'm seeing some beautiful like stuff in my head. Yeah.
The more whiskey, we're collaborate the more magic on that. Becomes.
Yes. Here's my French drop, and you know, shit drops all over the place. I'd love to.
Oh, here's look at this thing.
You're putting the thumb on the wrong finger, and you're like, I'm so down for that. Oh, dude. I
love it.
Danny, what are you saying? Dog poos on face. Florida, not Florida, dude.
That's really good. Go either way. I'm gonna go with Florida. Yeah, Florida. Because only somebody would go to the hospital after that. Florida has to be Florida.
We go with Florida.
Yeah.
Vermont. Oh, you're picking
that's oddly specific. All right. I would like your reasoning for why.
Sort of thing.
Now, what type of dog do you think it was?
Like, I'm hoping to the hospital? Small dog.
Oh, I'm hoping this is like some 80-pound beast of a dog. Like, that would make me so fucking happy.
Well, that would put you in the hospital, right? I guess that's true. That would put you in the hospital.
I mean, great, you get game. Some German Shepherd, like, douche, like, the right on your face. That, right, that's
good. Is it going to be over or under 60?
Better not be a Shih Tzu.
It's got to be
that,
over
that
or
would
under
be
60
on brand.
Pounds. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to go over 60 pounds. I think this would be phenomenal. Over to put her in the hospital, over
yeah,
60
it has
pounds.
To be, yeah, over 60 pounds. Has to be.
Okay. Ray,
these weren't pellet. These weren't pellet dukes. Wait. These were like, you know.
Okay.
Wait,
you guys ready?
I'm thinking, did the dog have like heartworms or something? So that's probably why she had to be in the hospital.
The worst case of pink eye ever. Yeah.
All right, whatever. Over 60.
So this was actually a plot twist. This happened in Britain, and I just have to put it because.
Wow.
Yeah, because last episode we talked about Danny peeing on a frog, so this was the payback of the animals towards the humans.
Yeah, that did not come up.
Accidentally pooped in her mouth. That's a little different than pooping on somebody's face. That's yeah. So what was she pooped on by? Were you able to get the info?
Why was she hospitalized? Dog must have had like heartworms. I'm telling you, it's heartworms. And what kind of dog it was?
You think she swallowed it? You think she swallowed it?
So it was actually a Chihuahua. Give me one second.
It had heartworms. I'm telling you, it had something. It had to.
You wouldn't go to the hospital if you got dog poop in your mouth, just in case.
Yeah, but be hospitalized for 3 days? It's got to be they had something.
She swallowed
There's
it.
Pictures of the accident, too.
No, so, I don't think we need to see that part. I think we're good.
The things we're learning.
Amanda Gummo, 51, was taking an afternoon nap. An afternoon nap when her pet chihuahua, Belle, became ill and suffered sudden diarrhea. And...
But what
I won't show the other pictures, but you guys could show it. You guys could look it up.
I don't want to see it, but what hospitalized her for 3 months? I don't get it.
Gama's daughter took Belle to the vet where the pooch was diagnosed with a nasty stomach bug.
I think it wasn't three months.
Playing some of the same symptoms as the sick pooch as she quickly saw attention. We'll skip that part. Her systems lasted for 48 hours. Yeah. You're muted.
All right.
The question is, did she check to see if her mother was well?
Oh, I see what they did.
That was slick. I was like, what's going on?
That took me a minute.
I had to say was like really quick, so it's mother's will.
I had this idea of a t-shirt, and we will produce it, but it's going to say, like, rules for a happy life. Number one, drink good whiskey. Number two, treat your mother well.
I like it.
All right, and this is the last round of Florida, not Florida. Man arrested for spitting food into mouth of woman during road rage incident.
Sounds like a
I don't know how, like, can you just, like, go like that?
Hey, that's cool.
So I need to know if this was a hot dog or this was the food was already masticated or, like, was this a soup situation? Like, because here's the problem. Like, depending on the food, you're going to have a distance that you need to account for, right? Like, if this was – he was eating a hot dog and he spit it across, like, 6 feet into her mouth, that man is a fucking genius. But, like, if it's soup, it's so much more disgusting. So – road rage. Like, is this across a car?
Chicken noodle soup.
You're thinking about this too much. Somebody.
I don't think I'm thinking about that enough.
Screaming at somebody else. That is Florida. Absolutely, that is Florida.
But make it across the car? Because you figure this person's driving in the driver's seat.
It doesn't say across the car. It doesn't say across the car.
It's road rage. They got out of the car and spit in their face?
And he screams at her while he's eating his, like, I don't know.
So you think he took his food with him?
Look, I'll tell you. The man walked up to the woman, and she rolled down her window to apologize. And that's when the man spit food on her mouth.
Yep.
Oh, that's Florida. That's Florida. That is Florida. Son of a bitch. That's Florida.
And she was going to apologize, and she got food in her mouth.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and extend this and say she was a tourist. He was not. So she was trying to apologize, and he gave her the full lunch menu. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying the one that was spit in her face wasn't a Floridian. She was a tourist.
Vince, you're going to Florida too for this one?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this was Florida, Pinellas County again. So let's stay away from
Pinellas County.
You notice, and it's not just this episode. Pinellas County shows up a lot. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
So glad I'm moving there.
So in D.C., we had an incident recently. We actually drove by it on our way back through D.C. There's 295, which is, like, I think it's one of the most dangerous sections of the highway in the D.C. area. It's, like, in Maryland. And we were coming back, and we passed this silver sedan that had, I think, 11 bullet holes in the windshield. And all we saw in the news reports was basically an off-duty FBI officer was involved in the shooting. And it took about a week to get some of the details, and we still don't know them all. But basically, like, this off-duty FBI officer was driving his car on 295, and some other car sideswiped him. And so he decides to follow them. And the car that sideswiped him starts shooting at him. And he keeps following them, and then they shoot at him again, and then he unloads his entire clip against this car.
Wow.
And they got away, and basically, like, the news reports is, like, the entire, like, all of 295 was shut down. Nobody was injured, but this car we passed had, like, 11 bullet holes in the windshield from this FBI guy.
He was just lit up, completely lit up,
just shooting out of his windshield at this other car. So we don't spit food.
Yeah, I see that. Okay.
We spit lead.
Which is the name of Danny's next rap album. So I don't spit food, but I spit lead, yo.
Boom.
This song brought to you by Motherwell Distilling Company. We're gonna go for the record of the most time saying Motherwell in an episode. So cheers. I did. I'm happy to. I'm really so okay. So I am not. I suffer from a horrible sense of smell, which realize is a major disservice to anybody that enjoys whiskey. But I appreciate the taste. I appreciate the mouthfeel. But I don't get to enjoy the smell unless it's like a really hot whiskey. Which means a lot of the notes when you sniff, I can't tell. So what should the average person be looking for, like, when they take a sniff of this?
So like, what's fun about bourbons is, like, they have to be at least 51% corn, and they have to be made in the U.S. They have to be aged in charred American oak barrels.
It has to be new charred, right? Or new barrels.
Yeah. New barrels. So there's no state requirement. There's no age requirement. Like, Cleveland whiskey gets away with making bourbon because you can basically dump bourbon into a barrel for 5 seconds and call it bourbon.
Oh, that seems like a disservice. Jeez.
It is what it is. But what the rest of the mash bill is really what matters. So if you have a high rye bourbon, like Four Roses, you're going to have a spicier bourbon. If you have a wheat bourbon,
more favorite bottles,
like wheat bourbon, like Pappy's a wheat bourbon, they end up being a little bit sweeter, and so you're getting kind of like chocolate and cherry, tobacco, that sort of stuff. The other thing that really has a big effect on the flavor and the taste of a whiskey is the proof. So if you're serving a whiskey at 90 proof versus 110 proof. Like the 110 proof is going to feel really spicy and harsh. Not as, I guess not harsh, but like it's going to feel spicier and kind of hotter than something that's 90 proof. So you, there are a lot of things you can do in terms of bottling whiskey to figure out how you want to profile.
I was actually referring to like to this specific, like what notes should we be looking for here?
So with that, you know, you're going to get some like, you know, cherry, tobacco, just kind of smooth little alcohol note. You know, it's kind of on the sweeter side.
I was going to say, I do tend to like lean toward, now, like I said, Four Roses is probably one of my favorites, but I do tend to lean toward the sweeter bourbons. And this to me is a little sweeter, which is probably why I like it so much.
Yeah, the wheated bourbons, you get a little more sweetness from the wheat, like the winter wheat, red wheat that comes from it. So for sure.
Dude, I'm so fucking excited. Like, we have to do a tech bar, like, at your distillery, like, do this on
Let's
site.
Let's do it.
Like, I am so fucking excited.
Look, Columbus is about a 45-minute drive from where our distillery is going to be.
Okay.
The best mixed drink with bourbon. I'm a big Manhattan fan, but you gotta mix it right.
So we did this whole thing. I was showing them how I like to make old fashions, and I'm very opinionated on both old fashions and maraschino cherries and other ingredients. And so we were making old fashions and, we each took turns making them. I think Caleb, you can back me up. I hold the title for the best old fashioned that night. But I do enjoy Manhattan's. Absolutely. You know, there you go. Caleb says, love me some Manhattan's and old fashioned, which is not a whole lot of difference between the two, but yeah. But, so here's a good question. Big ice cube, no ice, straight. What's your preference?
I like Manhattans or old fashions on ice, like on the rocks. I think what I like to use is like stronger barrel proof spirits, and then that ice kind of starts to dilute it over time.
Yeah, I like I do like, especially some of like my barrel strike stuff, like I do like to let it cool down a little bit. I definitely like it. No ice at first. Okay, so here's another bourbon thing that apparently is controversial. I had no idea. So I've seen, and I asked Tim this as well. I've seen comments where like the so-called neck pour is different quality than the rest of the bottle. you're smirking because you know exactly where I'm going with this. What's your opinion on that? Is this just bullshit fad, or is that actual? Is there's some fact to it?
So, you know, the first pour that you get out of a bottle is called the neck. And, you know, it's basically whatever it was bottled at. And as you drink more, you have more room for kind of evaporation and kind of mixture with the air. And so you start to lower the proof, you start to get a little bit more aging. And so I think what people talk about in terms of the neck pour is like that first pour is kind of, you know, it's a little bit more chemically.
Okay.
And then
You think there is a little bit of a taste difference there?
I do think like as you, and the more time a bottle sits open and has room to kind of expand and breathe, it's going to change the proof. Like if you take a bottle, if you take a glass of whiskey and you add a drop or two of water to it, it's going to change. Like there's a chemical reaction that happens, and you can see that happen. And the difference between something that's served at like 92 proof versus 91 proof, like you can taste it. And so like certainly the character of a bottle changes over time.
Yeah, I have noticed that with my bottles that the drink I get from the top And I never understood if this was just like a pure in my head kind of thing, but like my second pour for my first pour for my fourth pour, maybe I'm just getting a little lit, but like it does, I do feel that there are significant differences between the pours. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's just me like appreciating the liquor a little better after having tasted it so many times, like, or if it's really, you know what I mean?
Yeah, every little micro change in the proof changes the character of the liquor.
Yeah.
And so as you drink it, like there's more room in the bottle for stuff to evaporate. And then you pop the cork out and, you know, that stuff evaporates out.
So, okay. So you obviously have proven the last 2 hours, you know your shit. So now I have to ask you a very serious question, a very important question. I have a lot of bottles that I will open and then I won't touch again for 6 months, 8 months, because you can only go through so many bottles at a time. Are you that guy that puts nitrogen before you recork? No. Or like you just, it is what it is. Just leave it. It's fine.
Look, as we, it feels like I'm going to get, like,
there are people in the whiskey world that like absolutely do. They, you know, they put the nitrogen in to get the oxygen out to, you know, to supposedly save the taste of the bottle before they cork it again. Yeah. Like, I know that exists. I just didn't know how much of it was BS or, you know what I mean?
I'm going to get deep. Like, we all have an impact on the people around us, on the environment around us. And so, like, as you open a bottle and you decide to drink it or not, like, it's changing the future of that bottle. And so, like, you know, we're all, like, you know, we're all touching that. You're drinking a very unique bottle once you open it. And if you let it sit for 6 months, like you're getting an experience that nobody else is getting because you've, you know, you're drinking that bottle at a different point in a different time.
So, do you do the infinity bottle thing?
I've just started it. Having done a lot of like practicing and, you know, experimentation around mixing, like it's amazing how much difference, again, like I said it a few minutes ago, but like how much difference like one proof point makes in a liquor. And so like an infinity bottle is a fun way to think about that. It's just like, I'm going to throw stuff together and see what it tastes like.
It's something I started doing. So I've been building the same infinity bottle for about a year and I'm about a quarter of the way through the bottle, building it, because I have it in its own decanter. But I've realized I've started taking, when I first open a bottle now, I'll put some in because I forget, and then I'll drink the bottle, and then, you know, there's nothing for the infinity bottle. But it's interesting because I tend to lean toward the sweeter varieties. So, like, I'm curious how this is going to turn into afterward. And something I'm trying to do is like even the ones I don't care for, like even Widow Jane made it into my infinity bottle just because I'm curious to see how that interacts with the other bourbons that are in there. I figure it'll probably take me another year or two to actually fill it up. But I'm looking forward to it. Do you taste it at all in the beginning, or are you just waiting to fill it up and then see what happens at that point?
So far, I've just been filling it up.
Yeah. It's a little like reading the last page of the book before you start the book. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking forward to the surprise. I'm with you. I want to see, once I fill it up, what that's going to be like. And hopefully it doesn't taste like, I doubt it's going to taste like ass. But just because I don't generally buy bad bourbons. With the exception of one. I bought one that was a maple bacon Old Knob or Knob Creek. I mean, it was so fucking bad. I couldn't even do the bottle. It was so bad. Yeah. That's what an infinity bottle is, Dan. So you take different, you know, not a lot, an ounce, 2 ounces, whatever, throw it in of the bottles you drink. You keep it in a decanter and just start filling that with some of each bottle you buy. It's kind of like keeping corks when you buy bottles of wine or bottles of champagne. Same thing, except you got something to drink afterward when you're done.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think in terms of blending bottles to blending liquors to bottle, like again, the character that happens, like, it is just amazing to see how different liquors are when you blend it with, you know, different proofs and different blends, and it's just a fun experiment. So, you know, it's everything's different.
I love it. All right. I know we're at the 8:30 mark. I know Danny checked out like 15 minutes ago.
So I want to respect the people's times. We're losing 7-0, but we're driving. We're going to be
good. All right. Yeah, I want to watch the offense game too.
Yeah, Waddle and Higgins both have points for me. So, like,
yeah, Waddle just had two catches, 44 yards, I believe he has right now. Just letting you know.
Okay. Yeah, Caleb's out saying he's never heard the Infinity Bottle. Dude, you got to start, man.
I didn't either.
If you need a decanter.
You guys explained it. So.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cool thing.
The real question is like you put it in, and are you literally, Ray, going to wait 6 months before you have it again? That's the question.
No. So it's – I take – what I'm doing now is because I would forget. I would finish a bottle and I'd forget to leave like the last bit and pour it in the decanter. So what I do now is when I open a bottle, like with this before I go to bed, I will take an ounce or two of this and I'll pour it in the Infinity bottle so I don't forget. Yes, Caleb is our cousin, whatchamacallit. So I do that. But – and realistically, I guess you could mix alcohols if you wanted to. I only put bourbon in mine. But nowadays, I only buy bourbon anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you shouldn't mix different spirits.
I would imagine if you did American whiskey and bourbon, it wouldn't be that big of a... You get what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be that stark of a difference.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do vodka and whiskey.
No. Or some gin in here.
or like a spiced rum and whiskey. Like, that would be a little gnarly.
So, okay. So, as somebody who's making bourbon, what do you do? Are you doing whiskey in the barrels afterwards? Are you reusing the barrels? Or, like, you just... What do you do with the barrels after your batch of bourbon, since they have to be new?
Yeah, so you can reuse those barrels for, you know, everything else you're making, whether it's like I really love like a barrel aged gin. Like if you put that gin in a barrel for like 3 to 6 months, it adds a little bit of depth to it that you don't normally get. So there are a lot of options.
Yeah, it's so let me ask you. So this I have this and I'll make this my last question because I know we're running late, but so yes, before I get yelled at, yes, I know bourbon is whiskey. I get that. But is there a better way to refer to American whiskey when you're specifically not talking about bourbons?
Well,
you get the problem, right? Like if I say not bourbons, but American whiskey, you get the people that yell at you and it's like, I know they're bourbons. I know they're whiskeys, but
so you get me. So bourbon has to be made in America.
Right.
Whiskey can be spelled with an EY or a Y.
And right. So like whether it's Irish,
all
or
bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. They're actually doing some rulemaking right now to basically say that there's actually a classification of whiskey called, you know, an American single malt, which has been driven by Stranahan's in Denver, where a lot of single malt tends to be Scotch, which has to be made in Scotland. Right. But they're actually making a classification called American single malt. There's not necessarily a classification for American whiskey, but you can have like a wheat or a rye or, you know, a corn forward whiskey is called a bourbon. So right. You know, there are a lot of options, but I think there are a lot of really cool micro distilleries doing stuff around, you know, how do you be creative? How do you be innovative around making cool stuff? And one of those, like, if you haven't had Stranahan's, like, Stranahan's out of Denver does some really cool single malt.
Okay.
And if you're a Scotch person, you should be trying Stranahan's. They have a couple different labels. You'll see the yellow label predominantly spread nationwide, but they have a couple of different brands that you can get more locally.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Let me bring back up my Motherwell Distilling Company. Separate from that. But yeah, there's a
We have a rye. We call it our Rockhouse Double Rye. So it's some of our own rye whiskey plus some 2-year-old rye from MGP in Indiana, which is basically bullet rye.
So, okay. So Dallin's comment is exactly why I ask. I don't normally do well with American whiskeys. I will do okay with Scotch, but American whiskeys just, they don't do it for me. But obviously I love bourbon. That is without question. I love bourbon. So, and I get bourbon is whiskey. So how to, you get what I'm saying? Like when I talk to those people, like, how do you have that conversation? Like, you drink bourbon. Of course you drink whiskey. No, that's not the truth. I do not. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a tough life. All right. So we'll leave it on that. Thank you everybody for joining the Tech Bar. Simon, we got some upcoming events you want to bring up.
Yep. So we do have a couple of things coming up, tomorrow at 9:30. I mean, tomorrow 9:30 at 10 a.m. Eastern. We have the MSP Dispatch Week wrap up presented by the MSP Media Network. So tune into that. October 3rd to October 6th next week, we're going to be at UGM. Steven is actually going to be there as well. So catch the OIT team out there. October 4th, we have the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network again. October 13th, we're hosting a Partner First webinar with Roost. And then October 25th and October 27th, Danny, Ray, Alex, and myself will be at the 7-Figure MSP Live event in Orlando, Florida. So come hang out and come grab a drink with us.
And get Simon Miller.
It'll be a good time. And of course, we will be at IT Nation Connect with Vince, maybe doing some magic and whiskey, because that'll be fucking fun, and having some more Motherwell. We'll raise a glass to that. Thanks so much, Vince. I appreciate it, dude. I definitely the most learning I've ever done on Tech Bar. The only time on Tech Bar I've ever seen an MSP question asked. So that's pretty fucking amazing. And we literally run the gambit from 2-year-old babies, Milana's 2 or 3, I forget. I apologize. And all the way up to our age, which will remain undisclosed. But until next time, Dallin, namaste, my friends.
I love Take Magic the Gathering. That's one of my – I did that early on, definitely. And remember, donate to the Shave the Beard thing.
Yes.
Please look that up. Matt Lee, Shave the Beards, Beard Shaveathon, whatever keywords that is. And
it's something or something.
Tell me at IT Nation that you donated, and I'll give you some liquor.
Ooh. How cool is that? And again, we'll put it up on the page. It's Matt Lee Cyber. Oops, it's cybermattlee.com/shavethebeard.
Yes,
donate. Be awesome. Be cool. Be great. All right, thank you, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Have an awesome evening.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we'll do the after party for a little bit.
Has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, fuck. Sorry.